Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 306 from the Saliga Heating and Cooling Weather Desk. Dave Murray joins us.
Hello.
Happy Halloween, Dave.
Happy Halloween. Now, what are you going to do before you go to bed Saturday night? Last time I'm going to mention it.
Turn the clock back.
There you go.
I was going to say look for the moon.
Well, you can do that too.
Maybe the moon will tell me what to do.
Look for the moon.
What is the moon going to be this weekend, Dave?
The moon is going to be in the sky. It is. We have just gone past first quarter, and the full moon. Full moon is actually Wednesday of next week.
Oh.
That's the November full moon. It's known as the Beaver Moon.
So we're going to have a full Beaver Moon?
Yes, Wednesday.
He's just making this stuff up.
Been a while since I've seen one of those.
No, I'm not making it up.
I do appreciate him, though. Okay.
Let's find it.
I'm just trying. Yeah, the full beaver makes it easier.
Oh, boy, we sent that right into the
Yeah, we really did.
Set that right up on a tee.
There's the next Murrow.
Dave's like, here, put this on the tee. Dave, go ahead and hit it.
What was Halloween like in Rhode Island, Dave?
In Rhode Island? I mean, growing up, you know, it typically kind of cold. I mean, you know, Rhode Island, the Northeast, New England, this time of year gets cold, usually windy. I have an older brother, you know, brother Don.
Big Don.
And we would go trick-or-treating together, family. I think I've told this story before. It did not happen in Rhode Island. It happened when, where did it happen? Must have been in Kansas City, because we did grow up about 4 years in Kansas City, in Leawood, Kansas. Is my folks would bring us around trick-or-treating. And the deal with parents were that, you'd come, you'd knock on the door, the parents would be there, kind of a safety thing even back then, and cocktails would be served to parents. Candy would be given out to the kids. So it was quite a trip around the neighborhood.
What was your favorite costume that you had, Dave?
My favorite costume was I dressed up like my dad, and I had his hat. Long coat, briefcase, yeah, the whole thing. Dad going off to work.
That's nice.
Very sweet.
Yeah. Well, I think he liked that.
Yeah. It's an homage.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, you know that story about when I wore a suit and Phoebe saw me? So I famously have never owned a suit since I started the radio business, but I had to do one because it was a very fancy thing for veterans, so got a suit. And I came walking down the stairs when Phoebe was about 5 or 6, and she goes, wow, you look like one of those guys. And so I'm thinking like, you know, assassin or, you know. And I go, well, which guys, honey? And she goes, you know, one of those guys with a job. Nice.
I would actually love to get Dave Murray and Phoebe together sometime just for like
Oh, they'd roast me.
On air purposes, yeah. It would be kind of an incredible purposes. Roast.
The only people that roast me in my life more than Dave Murray were my mom and my daughter.
Oh, I'm honored. I'm absolutely honored.
The triumvirate. The day my mom had surgery, weighing 75 pounds with a rod in her femur, and I said the words to her in her hospital bed, "Stop being so mean to me." She was just ruthless. Ruthless. So what are we looking at tonight, Dave?
All is quiet tonight. It will be chilly, for trick or treat, any other plans you may have. There will be some high clouds around. Those clouds will get a little lower and thicker overnight, but it's basically a dry, cold front coming through. That front should pass by fairly early in the morning on Saturday. Partly sunny Saturday. Might be a sprinkle or two from time to time, but I think that will be hard to find. That's with the front. No real moisture to work with. But it's about 10 degrees colder tomorrow, 55. Not a lot of wind, maybe a little breezy, but it will be a chilly day, fall day, November day. Partly cloudy and cold Saturday night, 36. There will be some spotty frost around come late Saturday night, Sunday morning, though I don't think it's widespread. Sunny skies on Sunday, 59. Monday, sunny and 64. Upper 60s on Tuesday and low 70s on Wednesday. Then we fall back into the 60s.
All right.
No real rain in sight.
Headlines, Rach.
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. So there's been another heist, this one in the United States. More than 1,000 artifacts were stolen from a museum in California, including some metalwork jewelry, Native American baskets, and some athletic trophies, kind of a random assortment of things that were stolen. And it was from a storage facility. But I don't know if there's like a group of people, like it's time to hit all the museums or what, or if it's just we're hearing about this because of the Louvre thing. It's just all.
So this is a little bit like the argument that Wheels and Andrew had about finding a money in a billfold. I'll just speak for myself, but to the extent that anyone agrees with me, why is it that if someone took $20 from me, I would just be beside myself. But when a bunch of cat burglars pull a heist for $100 million, I'm like, good on you. Way to go.
Because they didn't take it from you.
Yeah, because not your money.
Even if it wasn't my $20. If someone broke into one of your houses, I would think that was just the worst thing. How dare you? You're the worst person. What a violation of human rights. Yeah, when someone pulls a heist.
It's because of movies.
Yeah, you're right.
There's so many heist movies.
It's all these Ocean's movies.
Yeah, like you're rooting for the people doing the heist. So I think just emotionally we're like, oh, that's kind of cool.
And you kind of, I don't know. You kind of like seeing the man get stuck to,
I think a little bit of it is that that's all rich people stuff.
Yeah, it's like not the money of like your friends that are struggling
right,
or whatever.
Right.
You know that it's like rich people money and you're like, yeah, you're fine. It's a victimless crime.
You'll still be rich without that painting, Jeeves.
You still want to see him though. Especially with the Louvre. You want to see these guys lined up. Let's see what you guys look like.
Yeah.
A South Carolina man is choosing execution by firing squad. His name is Stephen Bryant. He's a death row inmate in South Carolina. And he has quite an interesting backstory. He's known for taunting investigators with a letter written in his victim's blood.
Whoa.
And he has chosen to die by firing squad on the 14th of November. South Carolina added the firing squad as an execution option because they had a lack of lethal injection drugs.
Oh.
People are still kind of concerned about the effectiveness of a firing squad and the potential pain experienced by the person going through it, but this is what he has selected for himself.
Yeah, I mean, if he wants it.
Yeah.
So how does the firing squad work? Is it like...
I know.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
I do too.
Go ahead, Dave.
No, you go.
So they have.
Yeah, you line up on a wall.
He doesn't know for real.
They put you in a chair and they strap you down.
Yep.
And you're wearing a white shirt with a red heart over your heart. And
they just paint a target on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they have a number of shooters.
Uh-huh.
But one of the shooters has an empty gun or a blank so that you can justify that you didn't kill this guy.
So just one. That was kind of my question. Is it one person has the real bullet or one person doesn't?
No. They want to make sure it happens.
Right. Okay. They want to make sure it works.
Yes. Okay.
And then they want every person that takes a shot to at least have the possibility in their head that it wasn't their shot that did it.
That seems worse somehow to me because now it just you're making emotional torture for the guy carrying it out.
Typically, as I understand it, if they hit their target, which they always do, the person usually gasps and breathes really hard for a few seconds and then is gone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
How many shots are fired? Do you know that?
I think it varies, but usually three riflemen and only two have bullets.
Okay.
Oh, wow. So just
I thought
two.
It was more, but maybe it varies
sometimes
by state.
It varies, and it's varied over time.
I thought it was like 15.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like in the olden
days. In the old days, it would have been a whole squad just lining you up. Yeah.
Okay. So in this case, it's going to be three volunteers from 15 feet away.
Yeah.
Boy, what a thing to volunteer for.
I know. That struck me, too. Volunteers.
Well, you know, though, I mean, a guy like this who's sending letters to police in his victim's blood, let me pull the trigger. I'm fine with that.
Really?
Yes.
I would still have a hard time.
No, not that guy.
Yeah, even a bad person, I don't know if I would want to, like, kill them.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. I'd be on the volunteer
list. You'd kill somebody.
For that?
Yeah.
If it was my job, yes. No, I would not go vigilante.
Well, the word is volunteer.
Right. If I were a guard and they were like, we need volunteers to kill a guy that was killing people and taunting police with their blood, yes, I would say I'll sign up.
That's actually an interesting question. Is it volunteers, like, from the police force, or is it just, like, guy? Like, can you just, like, show up and be like, I'll do it?
No, I think it's
Kevin Wheeler style.
I think it's, like, the prison's, like, version of a SWAT team.
Yes.
Like their tactical team, I think.
Yes. Okay.
But it might be beyond that. Again, it might vary by place, by each state.
Just a couple of weirdos showing up like, you still taking volunteers?
Yeah.
NASA's supersonic jet has finally taken off for its first super fast and super quiet flight. NASA and Lockheed Martin successfully tested their supersonic jet plane. It produces minimal noise, and it's potentially paving the way for faster commercial travel. The new jet is called the X-59, and it's designed to fly faster than the speed of sound with only a gentle thump. So this flight was conducted over the California desert, and if this is, you know, continues to be successful, these jets could cut travel time between cities like New York and LA in half.
Ooh.
It would revolutionize the air travel industry. I think
cool
this is very exciting stuff.
Is it? I'm going to look this up now.
It's really cool looking.
You know, I wouldn't have thought this thought all day unless you did that story.
Oh, that's awesome.
But it does feel like aeronautics needs an upgrade. Like, the planes that I fly on now, although I don't fly that often, other than the wings are swept up, look and feel pretty much the way planes have always felt to me.
I think it's a production thing, because we've had the Concorde for how many years? And that thing hauls ass.
The 70s?
Yeah, I mean, that thing hauls ass. It's faster than anything we fly domestically.
Yeah. I don't think it's flown for a while, though.
No, I know. I wonder, there must be some, must be expensive to keep up or something.
Yeah.
And it doesn't hold a lot of people.
Oh,
I think that was part of the thing.
Good point. That
they couldn't move a lot of people with it.
I apologize if we have already talked about this on this show, because we just talked about kidney donation last week or something.
Yeah.
Actor Jesse Eisenberg is going to donate a kidney to a stranger in December. So this is something that he's been looking into for a long time. He first considered donating a kidney about 10 years ago, contacted some organizations, but never got a response. But now, you know, he's making it work. He's giving it away to a complete stranger. And he says that it's basically like a no-brainer if you have the time and the inclination. And he says it's risk-free for his family because he's enrolling his family members in a program that would prioritize them for living kidney donations if they need one in the future. I guess that's a perk you get if you're someone who gives a kidney.
Oh,
I think that's great.
I think it's really selfless and really wonderful. About 90,000 people were on the transplant list waiting for a kidney as of last month. One more story, Dave?
Sure.
An Ohio woman says she plans to spoil her cats after winning $50,000 in the lottery. She says she's going to pay bills, remodel her home, and spoil her cats.
Good. How would you spoil Lucy with $50,000?
I mean, I don't really know what else she needs.
She looked pretty cute in a miniature car.
That's true.
It really works.
Rach, you could get that porcelain doll dress you were talking about.
I could.
Matt, and you could get yourself a matching one.
Oh, there
you could be the sisters from Little House on the Prairie.
Don't threaten me with a good time. I'm going to go buy a lottery ticket.
We could probably make this happen without $50,000. All right, Dave, have a great Halloween, buddy.
You too.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Happy Friday. Happy Halloween. Frankie, who is our primary ghost hunter from Haunted Souls, is here along with Ben and Mandy, who own Emmaus Village. Just talked to them, got them some water, and we'll be kicking off the Halloween show in about 8 minutes. So you had a sports question for me?
I did. So, you know,
it's about time.
It's a Mizzou question.
All right.
All right. So we know that Mizzou's having another good year. Eli Drinkwitz has done great things with this program. He's made them relevant in the SEC, which is really hard to do. He's done a phenomenal job. Now, with a bunch of the big programs firing their coaches, there's a lot of buzz that Penn State, LSU, Florida might come at him and offer a lot of money. Now, he makes $9 million a year now. So he's one. I think he's got the 11th highest salary in college football. So he's making a lot of money already. And certainly Mizzou would give him a raise to try to entice him to stay. I don't know how much, but if I were going to say to you, you're at Mizzou, you can make a boatload of money. Let's call it $12 million a year, and you're going to get an extension, so let's give it 5 more years or whatever. But you have bigger programs with more money, bigger stadiums, closer access to the most talented players in the country, and all of that stuff. The legacy programs, right? These are big-name programs with a lot of money behind them, more than Mizzou has. How do you treat that? Do you look at it and say, if I stay here and I take this contract, I'm basically safe for as long as I can think of, and I'm winning, and I want to win at Mizzou? Or do you look at it and say, wow, it's maybe a little more money, I have access to players I probably can't get at Mizzou if I go to Florida or LSU or Penn State. But you're also maybe on the firing line in 3 years if you don't meet their expectations. And their expectations are not just win 9 or 10 games. Their expectations are be in the playoffs, win the championship. And if you don't do that, like Brian Kelly, you're out. Or like James Franklin. Penn State was in the playoffs last year, and they had a bad start this year, and they fired their coach. So when you look at that,
yeah,
and I paint that scenario, how would you handle that? What would you think about that?
So I would look at it the way I sort of looked like Albert Pujols back when he went to the Angels.
Yeah.
And putting aside why or drama with the Cardinals, I looked at it and thought, whatever money you're going to make more per year, you are giving up being a god in St. Louis.
Yes.
And I would look at Drinkwitz the same way. Because he could crap the bed at Mizzou or Penn State or anywhere else.
Sure.
But $9 million or $12 million, even if he went to Penn State and he eventually went pro, you know, I'm not that ambitious. Okay? So
personally, I get you.
Me personally, I would say rather than going for the golden ring, I'm going to stay here in a comfortable job where I'm loved and appreciated and very well paid. And that's going to be my life.
Yeah. It is all about the individual's goal, right? Does he have the goal of winning a national championship? And where is that more likely? It's probably more likely at one of those other three programs. But it's not a guarantee. You're taking a risk to try to make that happen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in. The debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Listening to the 24th annual DGS Halloween show. Happy Friday. Happy Halloween. Here in studio with me, I have the guys, of course. I have Frankie and Ben and Mandy. Frankie, I've known for years and years. He's my go-to ghost hunter with haunted souls. And Ben and Mandy own Emmaus Village, where we did the Halloween show this year. So this first segment, we're just going to get to know each other. We're going to give you the history of Emmaus Village, why anyone would think it's haunted, what the history is, all that kind of stuff. And so Ben and Mandy are the owners of Emmaus Village. My first question for you is, what is wrong with you?
Oh, when you find the answer, you let me know.
Like, how did this come to be?
Oh, that is such a loaded question. I don't even know where to start. Honestly, Ben and I, we only met in 2020. We decided to do a real estate investment together. He was looking for rental properties. I was recently divorced and looking just for a new place to live. So we stumbled upon this property and bought it on the auction. There's a whole backstory, but that's the synopsis.
Mandy was hiking the property because it was abandoned.
Yeah, for about a year before that.
When we met, she's like, oh, would you like to go on this date? I've got this secret spot.
Really cool
and
place
to
hike.
I showed up to meet her there. And my mom actually was a former employee of the company. Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, oh, I've been here many times. My mom worked here.
Yeah.
What?
I was blown away because I thought it was in Martha's Ville. Who knows of this
place?
So
we joked around about, well, you know, this would be a great place to purchase, a good investment, whatever.
Had a picnic on the property that day, having no idea that was actually going to happen someday.
So, Ben, what was your experience with it when you were younger, just going with your mom now and then?
Oh, well, so my mom doesn't really like to drive in bad weather and stuff. So I would drive her to work when it was snowing, stuff like that. And then I would just hang out, you know, overnight and drive her back home. I didn't really, you know, I'd only been to the property a few times, but so I hadn't been in and out of all the historic buildings, and I didn't really know that much about them back then.
Was there a reputation to it back then that you picked up?
A lot of people would talk about it, like that they had some kind of an experience and that the place was haunted, it was creepy, whatever, you know, but...
We used to spend the night there, though. Were you ever scared or nervous?
I was always in the newer buildings.
Okay.
So my mom did stay in the historic building. She had like her own little bedroom that she would sleep in.
As a caregiver?
So I don't know. She didn't really mention anything specific. Mm-hmm. But
so when did you guys become really aware of the past, of the history of the place?
Well, okay, so let's see. We purchased it on the auction in 2020 in October, and then we actually started renovating, and we decided it was too much, so we were going to have to move on to the property. So that happened early 2021. I will tell you, I immediately started doing deep dive historical research. That's just me. And so when I started to realize the magnitude of the history, so most people just know it as Emmaus Homes or a former Emmaus Asylum, but it's actually had multiple lives before that.
Oh.
So before that, it was a seminary for Eden Seminary, which is now in St. Louis. And prior to that time, it was an all-boys school that was headed up by the German Evangelical Synod of North America. So when I started doing that, and then before that, there was actually... There was actually even some Native American tribal stories in that area. So I was pretty shocked. So anyway, I was not a paranormal believer at that time. I just had never had any experiences really of my own. And so once I started realizing the magnitude of the history, and then I started going and knowing the history, going inside the buildings and, you know, I'm learning more and what happened here in this room. That's when I started to notice some peculiar things, which initially just started out as electrical issues with the lighting and then also doors being left open continuously. But then I still am thinking, you know, you're still kind of skeptical. And then as the years have gone on, it's got to the point now where it's you can't not be a believer anymore.
Go ahead, Ben.
There was a lot of old furniture and stuff in some of the houses, mm-hmm. and I was kind of cleaning that stuff up. And then there were like piles of books and magazines and different things. So I'm mm-hmm. like getting ready to throw that stuff in the dumpster. And Mandy would be like digging through it all.
I'm like, no,
oh my God,
this
is amazing. And it, books about Emmaus and stuff. So she was pulling all that out and
photographs,
reading about it. Yeah.
Oh, finding obituaries, you know, learning people, the residents. Yeah.
What were some of the first things that you guys experienced that made you go from this is a cool old place to I think we're living in a haunted house?
Oh, a haunted house. Well, haunted house would be an understatement. A haunted small compound municipality, essentially. You know, so we decided as a, so fast forward 2023, then we bought the main campus as well. Initially, we only owned part of it, which was on the north side of Highway D. 2023, we picked up the main campus, which is where all the commercial, historic, very old limestone buildings are. So when we started working in those buildings specifically, and then even more specifically last year, we did historic haunted tours just during the month of October as a fundraising event. So the month or two leading up to that, so I'm going to say August, September of last year, we're cleaning out the buildings. We're really in there. We're in there, you know, deep and setting up for this huge fundraiser that's going to last a month. That's when the big, big ticket things start happening. That's when we're seeing writing on the walls behind the peeling paint. That's when we're getting lights that are answering flick once for yes, flick two for no. That's when we're getting, my daughters are getting apparitions. You know, that's when it's really hitting hard.
Yeah, for me, the we were working in the asylum and we were kind of resistant to doing like a haunted event for a while. But then we'd kind of decided, you know what, we need to do this. We just need to embrace this about the property and go forward with it. So we were getting everything prepped for the event. And I had been in the solitary confinement room multiple times, and I had never seen writing on the wall, nothing.
Same here.
But I went in to pull the shelves down, and I'm looking at the peeling paint. I see all the writing that was behind the old, you know. So this was written back in like the 20s, maybe 30s.
Earlier than that, it started. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll get into this later in the show, but I thought this was the scariest part. And I'll tell you what I think I know, and you guys correct me, that there was a man, maybe a young man, who lived there at Emmaus Village, and they called him Mad Albert. Not mad crazy, but mad. And that they couldn't control him, and so they put him in this room. And why you would ever construct a room for anything but holding brooms this size? Mm-hmm. It was so small.
Yeah.
No windows in the door, and that he was kept there for like 12 years?
That's close. So Mad Albert, we love Albert. So yes, my daughter named Albert Mad Albert. So Ben finds the writing on the walls. I start doing some research. I see the name Albert. Okay, I can't find anything initially in any of my research. And I'm a deep dive researcher, so I'm not going to tell anybody a story until I can make sure that I know it's true.
Perfect.
But anyway, so I ended up having to go in with my iPhone and I took photographs of every square inch of that entire cell. And then I went home and put it all together like puzzle pieces in my app on my iPad and my art app. And I was actually able to, based on what Albert himself wrote, I was able to determine Albert had been there for 13 years. I don't know if he was completely confined, but I know that that cell was his home for 13 years. I know that he was from Chicago. I know all of his family members' names. I know, you know, all of those things, except for I don't know how he got there and why. But once I was able to collect that information based on what I found on the writing on the wall, then I was able to go and do the deep dive research and confirm. But we don't have a last name still. And the reason why his name is Mad Albert is because my daughter Livy, who is 11, we went in there, and my other daughter, Karis, they are helping doing some cleanup. I am taking more photographs, and Livy decides she's going to have a conversation with Albert. And she's like, because the lights in his cell in particular will flick on and off randomly. And Ben is an engineer. He's checked the electrical wiring multiple times. It's been updated. There's no reason that we can think of scientifically why that would happen with the lights. So I'm taking pictures, not paying attention. Livy starts asking Albert, flick the light, you know, questions, flick the light once for yes, two for no. And he starts, the lights start responding to my 11-year-old daughter's questions. We get to the very end. She asks him a whole series of questions. Halfway through, I'm screaming at my other daughter, take out your camera. This has to be recorded. She takes out her camera. We do have the whole second half recorded. And the very last question Livy asks Albert is, Albert, are you mad at the way that you were treated? Flick once for yes. We got a one flick. Do you like being in here? Two for no. How about this? Would it make you less mad if we leave the door open for you from now on and never close the door again? And we got a once for yes. So from that point forward, his name is Mad Albert.
Wow.
And not crazy, angry, because he was confined for 13 years.
So going back to the primary iteration of Emmaus Village before Eden Seminary and such, what kinds of people made their way to Emmaus Village and for what reasons?
Yeah, so in the very, very beginning, so how this worked out was there were about 30 German families who had settled there and were trying to make a go. Now, these German settlers who were in that area, specifically the Dutzau and Warren County area, were very prominent and highly educated. They were not laborers. So they came there and were literally floored and struggling mentally and emotionally because of the amount of work. They were clearing land, literally starting from scratch, building their own utilities. So they're struggling mentally and emotionally. And so there's a traveling German evangelical minister traveling through the area, and he stops right there in Marthasville to minister to these 30 German families. And they felt so comforted by him that they begged him to stay, and he agreed, but he had a family, so they built him a farmhouse so that he could preach to these 30 German families who were settling this area. So that was the Friedensboat Farmhouse, 1840. That's the first building on the property and the very start of it all.
And then when they had patients there, were mentally ill patients, physically sick patients, both?
Both. They actually covered the entire gamut. So I have their original articles of incorporation. They will take any patient, any age, any gender, any race, creed, religion, ethnicity, nationality, color, the whole nine yards. I was shocked. So this was 1896. So they even used the word sexual preference. I'm not even kidding. They followed through. They stood on their word, and they took patients from 48 hours old. A lot of babies who were being born addicted to morphine in those days, they would go pick them up, bring them there. A lot of times they provided lifelong continuum of care. So these patients would literally die and be buried there as well. But they also took patients all the way up to geriatric patients who maybe had cancer, just needed 2 weeks of hospice. They took every ability. They took quadriplegics. They took patients who were never, you know, going to be paralyzed for their entire life. They just took Down syndrome and autism. They covered the gamut.
Okay. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to bring Frankie into this and talk about the investigations and what he has found. And then at the top of the hour, we're going to start playing you the sound that we picked up during that night at Emmaus Village. Quick break, right back. DGS Halloween Show. Welcome back, guys. DGS Halloween Show. We're talking to Ben and Mandy, who own Emmaus Village, and Frankie, who is with Haunted Souls and was with us the night we did our investigation. So we just kind of got the history of Emmaus Village and when Ben and Mandy first started noticing things, and they really ramped up. So Frankie, at some point you made your first trip out there. How quickly did you sense something?
Well, initially, our good friend Fabian Rodriguez, who was out there doing the IT stuff, he called me. He's like, "You gotta check out this place, man." And he goes, "Do you think they want to run events there and try to raise money for it?" He's like, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I gotta know if it's haunted first, man. We just can't be like, you know, putting ourselves out there and then people go out there and investigate and they don't get anything for 8 hours." So we went out there initially, and it was during the day. It was during the day, and I had brought my team with me. Jeremy was with me, and we had gone in with a couple other people, just exploring and stuff initially, and then you're just kind of caught off guard at the mass of how big this place is when you come over that bridge. Yeah. It's like, oh boy, it's a big boy location. It's not like, oh, that mansion's beautiful, it's awesome, but this is like she was saying, it's like a compound. Yes. Of just haunted stuff. When we initially got there, we had the lights flickering in the cells, like, immediately. And I'm like, yeah, but that could be anything. And then I'd shut the light off and it would still work. I'm like, well, that's weird. You know, just, and then we had initially when we went into the college building, which is where you'll get to, but where we put your friend in the elevator shaft, that building right there, the minute I walked in, I saw a person. It's my only apparition I've actually ever seen without a camera or something. And I thought it was an employee or somebody, but there was a person in a white gown. And she was going up the stairs, and I saw the side of her face and long black hair with a white gown. She had hit the corner, and I was like, okay, it might be Mandy, right? Walked up there. There was no one there. And that's like literally the initial time we were there. I'm like, well, I think it's haunted. And then we did numerous investigations just with the team, just to make sure that we had a good handle on and how do we market this place to ghost hunters that have so many great hot spots in Missouri, right? You know, how do we compete with that? Well, one night we had brought in a state senator. He wanted to ghost hunt, but we kept everything under wraps because, you know, politics and stuff. So it was a very quiet, private event. And he was investigating with us. And then we had body cam on. You know, I just keep the body cam on, just keep it rolling. You just never know, your hands free at that point. You can use other equipment if you want to. And something was on his chief of staff's body cam. Well, that night we had seen all these things light up, all these EVP meters, sorry, EMF meters, were just lighting up on the same in the observation room. I was like, man, that's crazy. I've never seen three different brands of EMF detectors go off. And when I got home, Jeremy wasn't with us. And I'm like, man, you should have saw the night. I mean, these EMF detectors are just firing off. And he's like, well, how many did you have together? I'm like, three different brands. Never seen that. He goes, that's an anomaly. He said, well, what else did you see? And I said, well, we were just, he's like, you made the number one mistake of being a seasoned ghost hunter. When the EMF detector goes out, don't look at the detector, look around you. So I went back to the footage. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm sitting in my studio and I'm bringing up this footage, and all of a sudden there it is, as clear as day. This little boy just walks right out, this ghost kid, and he stands there. We've shown that video to people and they just can't debunk it. We sent it to people on YouTube that debunk. They're like, I don't know how to debunk that, because it's body cam. You can't take the thing out, right? It's inside. It's police body cam. It's the most incredible footage that we've ever seen. And at that point we were like, we got to talk to Ben and Mandy about getting some people out here to investigate and run some events. But it's nothing evil, right? I've never felt,
no.
I felt scared in that place because it is very creepy and there is something that could get, but I wouldn't say dark. I wouldn't say evil. I wouldn't say demon. I would say that there's something very heavy there, like something. Yeah. And yeah. We made a lot of mistakes in the beginning with medical practice, especially with mental illness. And so I think that's the heaviness that you feel there.
Okay, when we come back at the top of the hour, we will launch into our investigation. Frankie and his team were there. They had lots of different components, and they were all going crazy. And we caught some stuff that I think is even going to surprise you guys, because we didn't hear it at the time, but we found it on the recording.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.